was his camp name, led me to faith in Christ on one of the first nights that I was there. Now, I was the kid that when mom and dad dropped me off, I literally held onto the bumper of the car, crying like a baby, you can't leave me here, you can't leave me here. And after I discovered how awesome camp was and found Jesus that week, my parents came back to pick me up at the end of the week, and I was like, who are you folks? I don't want to leave here, right? And so it really does have that potential to change lives, and it's exciting. And so we've undergone some changes, some minor changes within our camps ministry because we feel like God is preparing us for something great. He's already been doing something awesome in our camp ministries, and I'm so thankful for that. And as we look to the future, we want to be ready to do and be all that God wants us to be within our camp ministry. And so I'm excited to tell you a little bit of a snapshot of what's happening at Evergreen, at ECM camps. First of all, we have some brand new branding that we're kind of going by, and that's this idea of ECM camps. I asked a number of people, have you ever heard of Evergreen Christian Ministries? And they went, what is that? And I said, well, it's a camp ministry. And they said, well, it doesn't say camps anywhere. Like, how do you know unless you're already in there? And so we started to put some pieces together, and through some folks that do branding and marketing stuff have said to me, you need to have the word camps in there. So we still kept the ECM, if you know what that means, Evergreen Christian Ministries. We are a camping ministry. We want people to know that. We want people to send their kids and their youth to that. So we've undergone a little bit of new branding. We have a new landing page on our website, ecmcamps.ca, which gives you the opportunity to either to see both of our camps. Yes, there's still campmishawa.ca, and there's standardcamp.ca. So we've got a whole bunch of domain names, and I am not a web geek, so help me if you know that kind of stuff. But I'm pointing people to ecmcamps.ca, and from there you can click on whatever camp suits your needs. Also, I just want to make note to you that there are new emails associated with the domain name, so if you're trying to connect with us and not getting through on some of our other ways, we want to encourage you to check out ecmcamps.ca. In regards to our kids and youth camps, this is where the energy is. I love watching that video for your vacation Bible camp and seeing Robin and his energy for what's going to take place here. You know, when kids come on the grounds of our campgrounds, it is excitement. You cannot be bored. You cannot just sit still with your hands folded. There's excitement all around you. If you're not into it, the kids will get you into it. We've got a really great summer that we're looking forward to this coming year. We've tried to allow and make use of better use of our time, our staff, our property, and our budget, along with following some of the trends in camping culture, and we've made some minor adjustments to our kids' camps, and I hope you're okay with it. I hope you're okay with this. I hope you'll get on board with us and pray for us as we continue to grow and go forward. At Stainer, as you've already heard, 5 years ago, we started an incredible day camp ministry called Heroes on the Move. This allows for anywhere between 80 to 100 kids each week to come from surrounding areas. Some kids come for both weeks that we offer. We offer an arts week and a sports week. Parents drop their kids off like any other day camp, go to work for the week, go to work for the day, and come back at the end of the day and pick up their kids. Very high energy, runs 9 a.m. to 4:30 Monday to Friday. This year, for the very first time, we're introducing an overnight option to our Heroes on the Move sports camp. What this is going to do is it's going to kind of be a morphing of what has been called typically TOP or Trail of the Pines in the past number of years. We were seeing a decline in registrations there, and so we wanted to do something about it. And so this year we're excited to offer to kids that are coming for that sports camp a great opportunity to stay overnight. Not only kids that are from far away, but we're really hoping and thinking that we're going to get people from the Stainer, Collingwood, Wasaga Beach area, that once they know that, hey, mom and dad, I can stay in a cabin, I can experience all the camp is, they're going to want to do that as well. At Mishawa, how many Mishawa people are here? I see a bunch of t-shirts, come on. Woo, they're over here. It's like heavy on this side. That's okay. All right, they kind of stick together. This is good. We're continuing to attempt to build on our kids and youth camps. This year, in order to bolster our cabin sizes, maximize our staff, we're combining actually what has been 2 weeks of Scamps and Champs camp into one very full week, creating some demand for people to get their kids registered. We're looking for staff, as Jeremy mentioned. We would love, and I'll talk to you about that. We would love to have you on board for that, whether you've been on staff with us before or whether you're looking and thinking, man, I need to serve somewhere. So this week of Scamps and Champs is going to give us the potential of adding another week when we start to fill that to capacity. Also, junior teen and senior teen will be taking place in August as usual. We're also excited, well, I want to back up a little bit. We're also excited this year to partner with world partners, EMCC missionary Rob Diltz and Stan Bragg. Many of you may know them. They are some of our own missionaries. And in the past, we've offered a camp for First Nations kids called Smoky Trails. And I will tell you that Rob Diltz has stepped off of them and stepped away from that board. And him and Stan are attempting a brand new initiative this year for a First Nations camp. And we're really excited to partner with them and with our denomination to offer this great camp to our First Nations kids. Many people ask about family camps because the trend is that families are doing a lot more things together. One of the things we're seeing is we have these helicopter parents, you might know what I'm talking about, that aren't really comfortable putting their kid on a bus for 7 or 8 hours to send them north to Camp Mishawa, and they want to be together. And families is a thing I think God has designed us to be together as a family. And so I would say that we do family camps really, really well. And at Mishawa, we have 2 weeks of family camp beginning July 1st weekend. Actually, there's more than two, but I'll talk about that in a second. Week one, as you can see by that good-looking, smiling guy on the left, being headed up by Jeremy, your pastor here. We're so excited that he's able to put together a dream team of nursery kids, youth, speaker, worship team. It's going to be a great week. Week two is being headed up by Andrew Epp of Plattsville EMC. And those first 2 weeks are almost completely full. I just got a report from our bookkeeper yesterday. She said, we only have a few campsites that remain. So that's a really great problem to have. If you haven't registered yet, we do have some spots for you. If you have, be fortunate that you got in when you did. Week three of family camp at Mishawa for the summer is typically Bethany Community Church, kind of the big EMCC missionary church in St. Catharines. And then week four, we're doing something brand new because we have a week to play with this year. We're calling it open camping, and it's a new concept for us. It's going to be a slightly structured week, so there'll still be chapel times and opportunities for you to grow in your faith. But we want to allow maximum opportunities for families to come and just have fun and relax and be together. There is something cool happening on that fourth week. If you are part of the Mishawa alumni, kind of the 80s and 90s kids that grew up going to Mishawa, they're planning to do kind of a reunion sort of thing. And so they've been advertising that on Facebook, on our Facebook group. And if you're part of that age bracket and you were like, man, I went to Mishawa in the 80s and 90s, then you got to get on board on that. Sounds like a pretty cool gathering of people. We're super excited as well. I mentioned this guy who's in the audience. We're super excited to announce to you, this is like the first time I've been able to announce this in a church, right? And he's here today, so he's spying on me, that we are excited to have Pastor Dan Hamill from Bethel New Dundee, who's going to be serving as our Mishawa family, our Mishawa camp director for like 9 weeks this summer. Would you make him feel welcome as he serves? So thrilled. Woo! And we know Dan will just do a fantastic job. He is no stranger to Camp Mishawa, loves the place, loves the people. And when I asked around and I thought, man, we need to replace this position, who do we get? All eyes and fingers pointed to that guy. And so we're so thankful that he said yes and that things were able to work out for him to be there. We do have a major need at Camp Mishawa, and that is this. We are looking for a full-time summer maintenance coordinator, okay? If that doesn't, like, excite you, maybe you're here and you enjoy just fixing stuff. You enjoy helping other people fix stuff and be on that kind of maintenance role. We're looking for a maintenance team lead position for Mishawa. And if you know someone who would fit that role, or maybe that's you, I would encourage you to contact myself or contact Dan ASAP. We're also excited about Stainer Family Camp. This is 2 weeks that are filling up very, very quickly. Two amazing weeks of ministry and fun. Our long weekend is completely full. So if you're thinking, I'll just come up to Stainer for the long holiday long weekend, we want to encourage you to get on a waiting list, though, because cancellations do happen. We're excited to have comedian, author, speaker Phil Calloway coming back. Last time we had Phil in, how many people are familiar with Phil and his ministry? Laugh again. Yep. Last time we had Phil in was about 5 years ago. You couldn't get a seat in our Tabernacle Chapel because it was just packed every single time. Worship by recording artist Luke Langman, and then a special Saturday night concert by the band New World Sun. These guys are incredible. They toured across North America with the Newsboys just a few years ago and are absolutely killing it in the music world. Other things like a huge fireworks show, an outdoor cafe that we do under the stars with some live music is great. Wacky Wing Wednesday is like always a favorite for people. They just love coming, eating chicken wings and listening to country music, and it's lots of fun. Hay rides throughout the camp. We are in serious need of adding a third week of family camp to Stainer Camp very soon because of the capacity that is there. So continue to pray for that. We're excited about possibly adding that in future years. And I will tell you that there is still some space available in our lodge if you are interested in coming up for a couple of our seniors' days or our missions days. You can connect with our camp office and register for that. So how can you help? Well, Jeremy mentioned a couple of financial areas that people are helping, and we really appreciate that. I want to tell you that we would not be here if it wasn't for generous folks like you. And I have more information at the table at the back if you'd like it on how you can continue to support us this way. I will tell you this. You need to be very proud of yourselves because Country Hills has been an incredibly supportive church. And I want to stand here today and let you know from the bottom of my heart how much we appreciate your ongoing support. So thank you and well done. Not only do we need financial resources to keep this ministry going and growing, but we also need people. And so there are a few ways that are listed here behind me. We have some staff needs. We obviously need camp counselors. I share with you my experience with Shorty, and we need people like that who are going to play a crucial role in the lives of kids and teens as they come to camp. Maybe that's you. We need waterfront help. We need maintenance help. We need people to serve in the kitchen. We need adult volunteer kitchen help. So if you're coming maybe to camp for a couple of weeks at Mishawa, maybe you'd be willing to just volunteer in the kitchen for a week. We would love to use you there. If you could give up a week or two of your summer to help us out. There are lots of volunteer positions that I'm really convinced that as I go out and speak at churches, I'm really convinced that more and more lights are going to turn on as people kind of think, hey, you know what? I could do that. I could do that. I should do that. And I believe that there are people sitting in this church today that have way more experience and knowledge about things that I don't have a clue about, fixing things and setting things up. But we have some needs, as you mentioned, as I mentioned, and you can see there. We're looking for work teams to come and help out with opening our camps in April. We've had in the past men's groups, ladies' groups. We've had youth groups come out for a couple of days, stay overnight, and help us open our camps. Families that might want to come and do that. Stainer, if you've ever been up there, it's a lot of trees, and it's a lot of raking in the spring. And so if you're good with a rake, like that's just like a real gifting that you have, we would love to test you out on that, okay? If you don't have a rake and you're thinking, I've always wanted to be a raker, we would love to give you a rake and just watch you shine in that area. Believe it or not, we also need people to sew curtains. Again, right? This is for anybody. So guys, if you're like a sewer, you're into that, then do it. Ladies, if you know how to sew or you can learn from a guy next to you, that's really cool. We would love to be able to freshen up and dress up our cabins at both camps by offering some new curtains, but we need people that are going to sew them for us. Picnic table repair is always one, because as the picnic tables sit outside and endure the elements of winter, we get up there in the spring and picnic tables are falling apart. And so it seems like every single summer, campsites are short of picnic tables. And everybody wants a picnic table, right? So if you're interested in that and you can help us fix or put together picnic tables, that would be great. General camp cleanup, we need you. We need all of us to be a part of that. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. The biggest support we need ongoing, and many of you are doing this already, is your prayer support. We need you to be praying that God would give us lasting opportunities and impactful opportunities to really offer the gospel that changes lives, the gospel that transforms people. We want to be about that at both of our camp properties this coming summer. Pray for great seeds of the gospel to be sown in the hearts and lives of kids and youth this summer. Pray that God will send workers to fill the gaps that we currently have to fill. So thank you. There's a little bit of an update. And as I said, there's lots more information at the back. You can check out ecmcamps.ca and find a place where you can serve or you can come and be served. We would love to have you at camp. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to get them out. If it happens to be on your phone, That's cool as well, because that's where mine is, and I hope you'll forgive me for that today. But I want you to have your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 14, and then just put your finger there for a second. Mark chapter 14, we're kind of going to hover over a few verses of Scripture today as we spend some time in the Word. And once again, I'm grateful for the opportunity to share God's Word with you. These are the things that excite me. Probably one of the most well-known verses of Scripture today, even if you're not in a church on a Sunday morning like this, but you've been out in the world at all, even the unbelieving world would know this verse of Scripture. Does somebody want to tell me what the reference is? Anyone at all? No? I'm not offering a prize. No? Okay, it's this. John 3:16, okay? In fact, tonight as you watch the Super Bowl, if you actually watch as the camera pans across the audience, I can almost bet, and I'm not a betting man, that there will be some dude like that. That guy looks like he's picking his nose maybe in the back, but holding up a sign that says John 3:16, and we've heard that verse, right? We know that verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. I want to tell you today that I believe with all my heart that when you really love something, you will give anything and everything for it. And if you hear nothing else this morning, I want you to marinate, to soak on this thought today. God loves each and every one of us, you and you and you. He loves you very, very much. So much so that He made a huge sacrifice for you by providing Jesus as a way back to Him. God wanted to be in relationship with us, and so He provided the first move in sending His one and only perfect Son to make a relationship with you. And so God loves us very much. So that verse is very important. But this morning I want to share with you just a few verses, another story from Scripture that's a great example of a great sacrifice. And so if you have your Bibles open to Mark chapter 14, just pray with me as we start. God, I just thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the power that's contained within these Scriptures, the power to transform and change our lives. God, it would be a waste of time if we just came here today, sang a few songs, listened to some guy speak, and then walked out of here without having something affect our lives. And so I pray by the power of Your Spirit that You would move mightily through the words of Scripture. God, would You hide me behind the cross today, as my desire is just simply to bring this good news and this message, this challenge to each and every one of us. So thank You. Thank You that we have the freedom in this nation of ours to gather together, men and women, boys and girls, to lift high the name of Jesus in our musical worship, to open a Bible. We realize this morning, God, that there are brothers and sisters of ours that are gathered around this world today, some of them in hiding for their very lives. And so we do not want to take for granted these moments that we have, this privilege that we have to get into Your Word. I ask that You would speak now, and I give You all the praise and honor, for it's You that we have gathered to worship. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. All right, man, Mark chapter 14, check this out. I'm reading from the NIV. And I've got it here in case you don't have a Bible, okay? Now the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus and secretly and kill Him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. Now, this isn't the full story that I want to get at today, okay? But I wanted to set the scene of where this is taking place. Verse 3 continues and it says this. While He, that's Jesus, while He was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper. My question to you is, how would you like to be known by that name? All right, Simon the leper, okay? Hi, I'm Tim the leper. Not really a really inviting kind of come on over to my house, right? I thought about this past week, and I thought, for those of us that really aren't familiar with leprosy, it's a chronic infectious disease, very painful. You can imagine these oozing open sores, not to gross you out just before lunch, but it's this brewing infection, very, very nasty, very, very painful. But the fact is this, Simon did not have leprosy any longer. They wouldn't have been in his house if Simon still had leprosy. In fact, he would have been cast outside the city limits, declared unclean. He would have had to stand there and, as people walked by, shout that out. I'm not clean. Don't come near me, right? But the reality was Simon didn't have leprosy, but he was still known to people by what he used to have. Now, we know that when Jesus came to earth, his ministry on earth, he actually touched people. He healed people that had leprosy amongst other diseases, right? Chances are Simon was one of the people who was actually healed of this disease by a word or a touch from the master, from Jesus. I think that's pretty cool. And maybe out of gratitude in his heart, because Simon was so stoked the fact that I once was this, but now I'm clean. Maybe out of gratitude, this attitude of like, wow, I so much appreciate what Jesus has done for me. He wanted to host Jesus in his own home, and so he throws this house party, and Jesus is there. I want you to think about this thought for a second. When God has done something for you, when God has been good to you in a tangible, in a specific way, then shouldn't something inside of you be willing and wanting to reflect on that by offering yourself up to God for him to use you? Just a thought, just a challenge today. And so all of this is going on as the scene starts. And then we come to verse 3, and we read this. A woman came in with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. And she broke the jar and poured the perfume on Jesus' head. Why this waste? Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. Now, basically, what Jesus is saying here is when this woman came into the scene and broke this jar and poured this perfume on Jesus that day, she didn't do it for any of the people that were gathered there. She did it for Jesus. She didn't do it for them. She did it for him. Now, how many times in our lives are we asked to give something that we have, right? If you come to church here each week, you take up an offering. We already did that today. There's a chance for you to give. Excuse me. You may have been asked to be a volunteer. Robin asked for volunteers this morning for a vacation Bible camp. You may be asked to volunteer for one of the ministries within this church, which is an opportunity for you to give, to serve God in a practical way within the church. You may, and these are just a few examples, you may sponsor a child through Compassion or World Vision, which is another way for you to give, to serve God. You know, after all, he calls us to look after the widows and the orphans. But I want you to note this. When we give, we don't give for anyone else. You may give to this church, okay? But this church is then funneling that money to the ministries that need it, right? When we give, we don't give for someone else. I don't give my tithe, my offering, for the person who's next to me, hoping that he's watching. I don't tell people about it. We give to God, and that's what this woman was doing in this story. Jesus continues in verse 7, the poor you will always have with you, and you can help them whenever you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, he says, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, even in 2017 in Country Hills Church this morning, wherever the gospel is preached, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. So we find ourselves talking about this woman, talking about this story some 2,000 years later, and it must have been an important situation because Jesus said that it would be remembered for forever. I want to just touch briefly on the fragrance. I'm not a fragrance guy, okay? Thankfully, my wife doesn't have like the favorite perfume, and then I'm running, you know, Christmas Eve trying to find that. Like, anything works, okay? But I will tell you this. This perfume that she poured on Jesus was of incredible value. Scripture tells us that it was a year's wage, worth a year's wage. It was a root fragrance made from pure nard found in the Himalayan mountains. The smell of this perfume would have instantly filled the air with its beautiful aroma. Now again, not sure if you have a nose for fine aromas or not, but this would have been one of the best perfumes available. It's not the stuff that's on sale down at Walmart, okay, or at Shoppers Drug Mart. And so this woman comes into this gathering with this very rare, very unique, and very valuable perfume, and she breaks this jar, this vase. She pours it on Jesus, and immediately some of the people present at that dinner party that night began to freak out on her, began to condemn her for doing this. Now, if we're to be completely honest, I want you to just go here with me for a second, because I tried to think about this past week. If we're to be completely honest with one another and with ourselves, how many of us might have actually identified and agreed with the people's reaction at that party, right? I mean, we may have felt that perhaps this had been a waste of some very expensive perfume that could have and should have been used for another purpose. In the moment, that action, the action of this woman, caused a negative reaction from Jesus' inner circle of followers. They probably should have been rejoicing at this great sacrifice that she made, but instead they rebuke her, they criticize her. Their brains go into calculation mode, knowing the true value of this fine perfume, and yet somehow still trying to make sense of what just happened here. Why did she do this? Here's the truth. Every single time, I find, every single time your heart tries to have faith and try to act on that faith, your mind will try to make sense, right? Every single time you're feeling that tug in your heart, man, I really should, your mind will step in and try to make sense of what's going on. I found that our heart and our mind will often be in contradiction with each other. And yet when you give to God on a sacrificial level, if it's really sacrifice, you get this kind of queasy feeling in your gut a little bit, right? In your mind, you're like, can we really do this? I mean, this sacrifice from this woman doesn't make sense, does it? This is a year's wages, and this woman just busts it open and pours it on Jesus recklessly all over him. It was unheard of. It was definitely over the top. And to the disciples gathered at that meal that day, this woman's gift didn't make sense to them. Now, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus who comes to church, and I try to make it a regular practice to be in church every Sunday with my family because we love the family of God. It doesn't matter whether you're at this church or this church or this church. We're all part of this family. But as a Christian, do you ever stop and think that some of the things that we do as the body of Christ, as the family of God, might not make sense to people that are on the outside? Right? I mean, if you're here this morning and you grew up never going to church, and you saw this building here, and let's just say like 6 months ago, you just thought, I'm going to, you know, randomly walk in there at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and you sat down here and you experienced a little bit of what has already taken place this morning in music and other things, you may have thought, this doesn't make sense. I don't get it. For instance, why do people raise their hands in worship, right? I'm just trying to think as an outsider here. Why are people all over the world as they gather to sing to God? Why do we lift our hands? Well, you know, someone once taught me, I think it was my youth pastor actually, that raising our hands is a sign of sacrifice and surrender to God. And it makes sense to some people, but some people don't get it. They don't understand why you would do that in worship. But maybe you do get it. Maybe you've faced a situation in your life and you come to a place where all you've had left is God. And in the midst of that dark and trying place in your life, you found yourselves releasing those burdens to God and saying, God, take it all. I surrender it to you. That's why we lift our hands in worship. It's a sign of surrender. God, I'm yours. I want to tell you this. I believe that surrender only makes sense when you've been through something. And I think this woman, if we look at her story, we'll see that she has been through something. This woman comes into this room and she pours out her very best before Jesus. Sometimes in our lives, it's hard to make sense and to have faith of what that exactly means in our life. And the disciples are scratching their heads, having a hard time coming to this realization of what just took place and this wasted perfume according to them. This act of this woman was extreme and it was extravagant and they didn't understand it. But maybe this woman had a different perspective on things. Maybe she knew, maybe she saw, maybe she had experienced something that the disciples knew nothing about. Maybe she wasn't crazy to pour out this expensive, rare gift after all. And I believe that the disciples, the people that were gathered at that dinner party, as they were freaking out, as they were criticizing her, you know, I believe that they had a they had an excuse for maybe not making sense in that moment of this woman's sacrifice. Because for you and I, versus for them, the cross of Jesus hadn't taken place yet. What Jesus did in laying down his life as the perfect sacrifice sent from God hadn't taken place yet. And sometimes our perspective gets skewed because we don't see the full picture of what is to come. We might make a poor judgment based on impulse or other things. But you and I today in 2017, we have the benefit of the knowledge of what Jesus actually did for us. We've celebrated that today as we've sung these songs. I believe that God had spoken to this woman, made her keenly aware of exactly who the special guest at that party was that day. And his name was Jesus. God had placed it on her heart to pour out her best gift on Jesus that day as an act of worship. And as a result of her knowledge of Jesus and what he was there to do for her, out of her love for him, she makes this sacrifice of great value. And I think it's amazing. Now, it would have been significant that this took place. Back in verse 1, we talked about the fact that it took place during the Passover feast. The Israelites would have understood this because they had been brought out of slavery in Egypt by the mighty hand of God. And when the plague came upon Egypt, God had instructed the children of Israel to sacrifice a lamb, a perfect lamb, shed its blood, put its blood above their doorpost, again, not to gross you out, but as a sacrifice and as a sign. And when God would see that sacrifice, he would pass over that house. He would pass over and not visit them with the punishment that they deserved. And if you've ever had God pass over a punishment that you deserved, then you can understand a little bit about the celebration of sacrifice. Here they are gathered for a meal, for a celebration, but this woman had a sense of sacrifice in the midst of that. They're all reclined at the table, they're eating with Jesus. She realized that not only was this the Passover season, but indeed the very Passover lamb who had come from heaven above to lay down his life, to sacrifice his blood and his life for her, was actually sitting at the table that day. And the disciples didn't even see it. But this woman did. She was keenly aware of exactly who was at the party that day. This woman had the perspective that if the Son of God could come down and lay down his life for her, then the least she could do, the very least, would be to break a jar of perfume for him. She realized that in the shadow of his sacrifice and what he would do, then it was a privilege and honor for her to give her very best to him. But still didn't make sense to the disciples. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know what doesn't make sense? And I'm sure you can agree with me. What doesn't make sense is that the perfect Son of God, God himself, who is without sin, would send his perfect Son to come to this world full of sinful people like me and like you. What doesn't make sense is that God would choose to do that for me. It just doesn't make sense to me. And at age 8, I trusted in Jesus for the very first time. And I'm thankful to God that I did. And if you're here this morning and you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then you could say yes and amen. I'm thankful that God provided that sacrifice. It didn't really make sense because I didn't really deserve it. But God provided that for me. If you're here this morning and you still haven't come to a personal faith in Jesus, man, I would plead with you before you walk out those doors today to investigate this Jesus. Talk to someone you came with, someone that you trust. Investigate this Jesus. I always tell people, even in 19 years of being a youth pastor, I never wanted to like twist someone's arm into following Christ. That just doesn't work. It doesn't stick. I wanted people to have all the facts. I wanted people to have firsthand experience to know how good God really is. So that when we gather and we sing about the goodness of God, man, it's coming from deep down in here because I reflect on his goodness to me. But if that's you today and you haven't started a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can do that today. That's the best news. So why did this woman show up? Why did this woman happen to be in that dinner party that day making such an incredible sacrifice? Well, I believe that the Gospels found in the Bible are amazing, amazing books. They basically tell us the same story just from several different vantage points. I think it's important for us to dig into Scripture and really find out what is being said and the lessons that are trying to be taught to us. And so if you have your your hand in Mark chapter 14, I also want you to flip over to John chapter 12. And we're going to see the same story with a bit more detail that may actually shed some light on why this woman poured out such a valuable sacrifice that day. So go to John chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Check this out. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived. Remember Lazarus? Anyone? Nobody's with me? Oh, one. Okay, thank you. Remember Lazarus? Okay. Who Jesus had raised from the dead. That doesn't just happen every day, right? Lazarus was there. Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Now, this is the same story that we were reading just a few minutes ago in Mark chapter 14. The location is Simon the leper's home. There's this family there with this guy named Lazarus who Jesus loved, who was dead, but now he's alive. And that was such a miracle that they wanted to do something special to honor Jesus while he was with them. So they throw a dinner party. And Simon, who had been touched by leprosy, who once was sick and condemned with leprosy, now healed, was there. And he says, "Do it at my place." And he opens up his home. And Martha's there, and Martha served, verse 2. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table. And then this hit me, verse 3. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet. And she wiped his feet with her hair. This woman in the story that we read a few minutes ago in Mark chapter 14 was not just some ordinary woman. Scripture tells us that it was Mary who watched her brother Lazarus die, then was there when Jesus rose him up from the grave just by a word from his mouth. Mary was the same one, get this, that came and fell at Jesus' feet, upset. "Jesus, why weren't you here? If you were here, he wouldn't have died." The same one. But now we see Mary coming again to the feet of Jesus and breaking open this vase of expensive perfume and pouring it on Jesus and wiping his feet with her hair. Why? This huge sacrifice we read about in Scripture now makes a little more sense. Mary willingly poured it out on Jesus because of the incredible experience she had had with Jesus. I titled our time this morning, "Experience Equals Extravagance." And I hope you're getting this. You don't mind being extravagant when you've had a personal experience with God. Yeah. You do not mind being extravagant when you've had a personal experience with God. And it's happening today. You know, others can just sit there at the table, the celebration, eating the meal, resisting the sacrifice. And Mary was like, "You know what, guys? You could choose to sit at that table if you want to. But after what God's done for me, do you know who this is?" And so she comes and she says, "I must do something for him." Mary had this life-altering experience with Jesus. And somehow Mary sensed that this was her opportunity to make a sacrifice to God that day. Every one of those men that were gathered at that table, every single one of them had tasted the goodness of God through Jesus. But in that moment, Mary made the decision to make a sacrifice because of what she had experienced. And so as I wrap up, I want to wrap up with these two questions today. Has God been good to you? Has God been good to you? I could write a book on the goodness of God. Just yesterday around noon, my wife came out of Grand River Hospital. She was hospitalized on Wednesday with a crazy infection in her leg that we weren't sure what the future was going to hold for her. She's got lupus and was diagnosed about 5 years ago, and this disease, this horrible disease, affects everybody's body differently, and we've been through this kind of roller coaster life. And we have four kids, as you saw in the picture, and three of our four kids are medical miracles. Praise God. I've had doctors say to me, "I don't understand. This should be like this. This should be like this. Someone's watching out for you." You think? Praise God. I'm telling you, God has been incredibly good to me. God has been incredibly gracious and protecting us. And our God is good to us. We've literally seen miracles happen because of the power of God working on our behalf. Even, listen, even if God had not done anything else for you up to this point besides sending his one and only son, Jesus, to die for you, even if that was just the end, and he's like, I've done it, I'm not even going to follow them anymore, okay? Even if God had stopped his goodness after the point of sending Jesus to die for you, wouldn't we still conclude that God is good? We really, really would. And so my question to you is this. Have you ever broken a vase for God? Have you ever broken a vase for God? Recklessly poured out? Have you ever just been like, so, I can't believe he did this for me. I've absolutely got to. Have you ever really considered what it might look like to make a sacrificial gift to God because of your gratitude for all that he's done for you? Many of us don't choose to do that because we're scared, right? Like, you know, can we really do this? He's calling me where for how long? Or he's calling me to empty my pocketbook for how much, right? We're scared. But if we really believe that it's more blessed to give than to receive, if we've really had an experience with the power and the love of God, shouldn't that affect the way that we now desire to give to God out of our extravagant love for him? It did for Mary. Like I said at the beginning of our time together, when you really love something, you're willing to give pretty much anything for it. When you hear the voice of God speak to you, you have this choice. Have faith and act on that faith, or try to make sense, right? The disciples tried to make sense in that situation. Mary exercised her great faith based on this great experience that she had with God. And if Mary were here today, I believe she would say to us that what she did in that act of breaking that vase of expensive perfume worth a year's wages on the feet of Jesus and then wiping his feet with her hair, what she did, if she was here, would say, you know what? It really wasn't that big of a sacrifice after all. Yeah, it had some monetary value. Instead, she would say, what Jesus did for me and for each one of us on the cross was a real sacrifice. It wasn't sacrifice that caused Mary to break the vase and pour the perfume. Instead, it was her opportunity to give back to God out of her love and her worship to him. We all have this incredible opportunity to give to God. We all have this opportunity to join God with what he's doing on mission to this world. And my prayer for each and every one of us today is that we would be so filled with a sense of awe and wonder at the greatness of God in our lives that we would be willing to pour out our very best for him. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so much again for the truth found in your word. God, these stories are not just meant for us to breeze over and not have any lasting impact. And yet, you've given us the story today, and we've seen the picture revealed of Mary and the great sacrifice that you made for her. The very words from your lips, Jesus, that raised Lazarus from the dead. Mary was there. She experienced that. And out of her love, as an outpouring of that great sacrifice, she came into this dinner party with a bunch of Jesus' inner circle of friends, and she recklessly busted open this jar and poured this perfume on his feet. And it didn't make sense to those that were gathered there that day. I pray that this sacrifice would make sense to us today, and that each and every one of us, Lord, would live every day of our lives reflecting on the greatness of God displayed in our life, in our family. And that we would live a little bit of that sacrifice, that we would lay a little bit of that sacrifice before you. We love you, God. We thank you so much for the gift of Jesus that you sent for us. Help us to live for you every day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.